Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Hey, this is Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're taking a look back on October's biggest real estate stories with our real estate story roundup. So stay tuned for Bob.
Journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn. Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn. The folks you meet on like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven.
Welcome everyone to How's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics including community, politics, real estate, and any hot topics of the day. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. As we do every month, we talk about real estate and what's been going on in the last month. So we're here to recap a few days late what's been happening in Brooklyn real estate for the month of October 2014. And as usual, Jason has done his very diligent scouring of local newspapers, articles, magazines, internet to find the latest, the hottest, and the most current Brooklyn real estate news to bring to you. So what have you found for us, Jason?
Well, we're going to start off with the October recap news roundup with an attention-grabbing headline from The Real Deal. It's a New York real estate news website, and the headline reads, and it's right in our own backyard, $60 million sale of Bay Ridge Midwood portfolio sets record. Now, the headline grabs you because it is an impressive headline with a huge number, and then they go into the subheading for it's got a per unit price of $232,000 per unit. So when you dig deeper into this, you kind of look at it, and the question that jumps out to me for you is, we often see stories like this and headlines like this and announcements like this, and you wonder, who is this for and why do they do these types of announcements and stories? What's the purpose behind telling people this information?
Well, that's a good question. Sometimes I don't have answers to those questions, but I can only speculate that it's pretty unusual. You don't see these number of buildings, the size of buildings being sold for building portfolio from Bay Ridge to Midwood, all relatively modern, maybe post-war building, elevators, a lot of them have rent-stabilized apartments, some rent controls maybe in there. And it's unusual to see why this package came on the market and sold for such a huge number. One can only guess that the Halpern family-owned business who owned this from the 1930s decided that this was time to cash out. 15 times the rent roll is a very impressive number to get for your building. Just wondering what they're going to do with that $1 million. Mm. How they intend to shield something from Uncle Sam, but that's not for us to worry about.
Yeah, and it's right out here in Bay Ridge on 84th Street. It was one of the buildings in this portfolio, and it's staggering when you see that figure, and we're going to touch on a couple other stories in this recap that will be connected to this in some way. But it is kind of a theme that we've been building on for a while in all of our recaps and some of the news that continues to make news is the ever-escalating prices and the ever-escalating demand. And this is just another story where we see inventory coming up in Brooklyn that's setting record prices. And a quote from one of the realtors in this is saying that they haven't seen anything trade at this price in these areas. So is this the first domino to fall, or is this an outlier? The trend would suggest that it's not an outlier, given the fact that we've seen these stories month in and month out about just the increasing desirability, lack of product available, demand far exceeding it, and the prices people are willing to pay to own in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, it's one wonders what the new owners are thinking. Perhaps the purchaser just wanted to add to his portfolio. Very simple, you know, addition. I don't know that this is a trend to do anything other than acquire rent-producing buildings, but we shall see. I guess Mr. Landau came into a few dollars, and the Halperts wanted to cash in on that, and GFI Realty was the broker for both of them. It didn't hit the market, so it maybe kind of suggests that it was, although not an interfamily transfer, but these people probably knew each other and worked out some deals among themselves, brought a broker in to assist them. But this is not where a situation where a large commercial broker came in and marketed it for everybody to be seen and bid on. This has some telltales of a private deal among the Halperns and the Landaus, but only time will tell.
Yeah, and just another example of the diversity of properties that you're going to find in such a concentrated area. In this case, like you said, rent-generating properties. These are going to be units for apartments. We've talked numerous times about the number of businesses that are coming to the area to set up offices and headquarters, the tech industries kind of moving into downtown Brooklyn. That's not the case here. This is residential. The area is residential. And then you have your brick and mortar, your small businesses that are going to occupy the commercial real estate in this area as well, Bay Ridge and downtown Brooklyn. You know, just the shopping destinations that that Brooklyn is seemingly ever increasing its footprint in those areas. But in this case, it's one of those. It's a residential purchase, like you said, to generate rent, and it's a gigantic number. It's a huge number, and it's just another indicator about Brooklyn's the strength in Brooklyn real estate.
Absolutely, very strong rental market is going on in Brooklyn, throughout all the boroughs actually, but very strong in Brooklyn.
Our next story is coming to us from Real Estate Weekly. It's talking about, and this is, you know, if you wanted more proof about that the strength of this market, it deals with first time buyers who are targeting Brooklyn for investment property, who are coming from outside of the area, outside of even New York. Not just we've talked numerous times about people in Manhattan. Kind of, you know, used to be the reverse, that you would kind of move on up from Brooklyn into Manhattan, but now the Manhattanites want to get into Brooklyn. But not so in this case. In this case, we're looking at investors coming into Brooklyn who are outside of New York in this one
person coming from a realtor in Pennsylvania.
Well, there's no arguing that Brooklyn has a brand and that Brooklyn is hot and Brooklyn real estate is increasing in value, doubling, tripling in terms of sales and value. So I guess if I'm an out-of-stater and someone says you want to buy in Brooklyn, that's just as good as saying I want to buy in Manhattan. And I think what they're seeing in Brooklyn is the upside. I don't know if you hear that type of argument in Manhattan, that there's, you buy something in Manhattan and it doubles in value. I think you don't hear that there. You hear that in Brooklyn, though, that you buy in a community in the next couple of years, 5 years maybe, the property has doubled or tripled in value. So I think that's the draw for everybody, and particularly out-of-staters.
Another takeaway here could be, and this is probably coming from somewhat of a bias on my part because I'm from Brooklyn, but when the agency who's using this tactic of expanding into these cities where they're targeting cities to kind of scarf up some property in real estate, and their philosophy is to attack some cities, some hot spots in cities like Philadelphia, Dallas even, and then I hear Brooklyn, you'd think that, Brooklyn itself maybe is a bigger player than some of these cities with, maybe where you would envision them being going head-to-head with a Manhattan rather than one of the boroughs in New York, that these are major cities in the country, and Brooklyn is just one of our boroughs, and yet we're on the same playing field, and that these brokers want to tap into that as they're targeting the hot spots across the country to be invested in. And the quote, it's the classic real estate quote, is location, 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 is what brokerage here is using as their reasoning for doing so.
Yes, so maybe there's some validity to Brooklyn having to secede from the city and compete nationwide. You're right, the little borough of Brooklyn, County of Kings, is competing on a national, global level. In terms of a hot real estate market, the upside in Brooklyn is huge, and I don't think that upside exists in many parts of the country today.
No. Now, this next story, I think we may have hit on this on one other episode. And that was, I think, a singularity. It was one, I think it was a specific case. But this is coming to us from DNA Info with regard to numerous Brooklyn churches selling off some of their land. And I think that we kind of surprised to see this come up before, not because of the... I can't believe a church would sell its land. The surprise was just the amount that they were getting. It's almost like it's almost like a sin for them not to sell the land. And when some of these churches may be hurting in terms of finances, it helps to have property that's value is through the roof. And we're looking at some neighborhoods here in downtown Brooklyn, Cobble Hill, Flatbush, Ground Heights, that are being targeted for development and looking to buy up property owned by the churches in the borough.
Well, churches have a big physical footprint. You know, they have the church itself. They may have a rectory. They may have a community building. They may have a school. They may have a parking lot. So there are a lot of pieces that they could chip away and go from being in the red to being black in a very short time. And there are a ton of religious institutions and buildings, all of them, you know, beautiful in Brooklyn, and all of them big, and all of them, a lot of them in neighborhoods that, 20 years ago were not desirable, now are probably on the hot list of real estate properties. So a church could probably peel off a piece of its property and, do very well.
It's fascinating to me, and I think we probably mentioned it the first time we came across a story like this. But when you see what the borough president, the Brooklyn borough president, Eric Adams, is hosting conferences now for faith-based property development, and now you've got all these clergy people and religious leaders descending on these conferences to find out how to work with developers to, make better use of or sell off space like parking lots and vacant areas and extra buildings and the term air rights. You wouldn't think somebody who went to seminary would have to be so well versed in real estate dealings.
Well, I guess they have to learn quickly air rights, buildable space, setbacks, all sorts of zoning regulations. And as you point out, they had that course in seminary. But, now the pastors of the local churches have to, for decades trying to figure out how to keep their parish, the church, above water. Now are seeing that their prayers have been answered, maybe, and they have a very valuable piece of property that had been used as a parking lot or a basketball court, a recreation area, that is now very desirable, and keep that church going for the foreseeable future. So yes, they are. They do have to become savvy in. Savvy property developers. Something tells me that they'll pick up that pretty quickly.
All right, we're getting some of the numbers here are being bandied about. One of the churches developed a vacant lot and the old schoolhouse owned by the church into a $130 million project that produced 47 units of rental housing. And 155 condos. That's a lot of. That's a lot of housing. That's a lot of people that have. You may even say divine living space now, thanks to the church parting with some of its property.
Hallelujah! Maybe some of those schools are in their congregations. Who knows?
And let's see, our next story comes to us again from The Real Deal. And this kind of goes back to, it connects a little bit to our first story. It looks to kind of get some input and thoughts on Brooklyn from some of its, at a recent conference, from some of, I guess, the movers and the shakers in Brooklyn, on why Brooklyn has seen this resurgence, explosion of prosperity, and it also touches on the fact that between 1965 and 1985, Brooklyn was, on the ropes, not a very desirable place. Certainly to buy up residential property, commercial property, or even investment property. And the story picks on picks four people to kind of four luminaries in Brooklyn real estate to kind of pick their brains as to why this transformation has gone on.
Well, I see this Marianne Gilmartin. She's president of Forrest Ratner. I believe they're the people that did the Barclays Center and the Atlantic Yard. She's saying transportation, and I think, you know, we in Brooklyn have a pretty extensive subway and bus system, and people are also now going over to use those a little more often and driving on the congested Gowanus or the BQE or the Van Wyck or any of the highways that are traditionally, you know, backed up. And, you know, certain places are thriving because of transportation. Look at the L line that goes through, I think, Greenpoint, Williamsburg, and just all the hot neighborhoods that have just developed, all because of the L train, a train that probably none of us have ever ridden, would have ridden 20 years ago, is now sort of like the lifeline, is literally the economic engine that's driving development along, you know, that Williamsburg, Bushwick strip. People go one or two stops, they're almost in Midtown Manhattan, and that's, you know, that's important. Another thing is people probably like the idea, I know at least for the Barclays Center, people along the R train or any other train that goes down to that stop by Barclays Center, I think every train stops there. You just jump on the train, you go upstairs, you're in the stadium. How convenient is that rather than drive somewhere, park 20, you know, pay $20 for parking, get stuck in traffic on the way. As you leave, you probably takes you an hour to get out of the parking areas. I'm talking about, you know, places like Giant Stadium in the Meadowlands. People are probably saying, hey, for $2.50, I jump on the subway and I come right up and there's the Barclays Center. So, you know, that's, you know, transportation is certainly one of the keys to the reason people like Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think that was probably, I mean, that reasoning is to its resurgence is probably the strongest of the four. And certainly it just shows you, you know, what you can put in Brooklyn thanks to our mass transit and thanks, you know, you can effectively have an arena like the Barclays Center, which is going to give you all different types of entertainment options from, you know, performers, not only the sports entertainment, but performers from all over the world will come now to, you know, this little part of Brooklyn, and you know it is accessible, and it is a tremendous drawing factor. And then, you know, some of the other reasons were it's interesting how each person gave such a different reasoning, and that was the infrastructure. Andrew Kimball, the CEO at Industry City, talks about the manufacturing and industrial and shipping heritage of Brooklyn turning into now new opportunities for the spaces, for those old spaces to draw the high-end retailers. And our old borough president, Marty Markowitz, points to the entrepreneurial spirit that's in Brooklyn now, and that's driving a lot of the economy in Brooklyn. And Regina Meyer, president of the Brooklyn Bridge Park Corp, talks about another interesting aspect is the improved safety of our borough, and you know how it's, you know, we don't have that stigmatism anymore of, you know, being a dangerous place to. You don't really think about that anymore. You don't really worry about that or hear about that, how Brooklyn and even New York on a whole is a dangerous place to be out after, you know, after dusk.
Yeah, and I like Marty Markowitz, big promoter of Brooklyn, his comment where he didn't like Brooklyn an outer borough. And I have to agree with him on that. Outer has some sort of negative connotation that you know, there's one center and everything else outer. But, you know, really, Brooklyn is pretty much the center right now, I would say.
And it's a, he makes a great little trivia fact that I never really thought of it, never occurred to me, but it is kind of interesting that Brooklyn is the only borough, that he says, that which from which you can't leave New York City without going through another borough. So really, in essence, Brooklyn really is almost like the heart of New York City.
That geographically is correct. We are the center.
And lastly, we're going to go to Bloomberg for a story about the, again, another example, more evidence of Brooklyn's thriving real estate market. This talks about, in comparison to some of our other boroughs, how Brooklyn is the only borough that has seen an increase in housing prices above the peak from 2007. Everyone else looks like they're underwater in that regard. And well, as Brooklyn is almost at a, is closing in on a 10%, a little bit more than 8% above sea level in terms of housing prices. So that's another example of how strong the Brooklyn brand is.
Yeah, points out we had a substantial amount of luxury housing development, and somehow we survived the financial crisis, and not only survived it, but now the, you know, the numbers are going up in double digits. People are finding that the housing prices were cheaper than Manhattan and could get a little more house for the money, although that is trending, there's a trend that is going away, I think. They're finding that you know, you can rent places in Brooklyn in some areas, some hot areas, for several thousand dollars per bedroom. So, I don't know how much longer we're going to be called a less expensive alternative, but you know, as you move further on out, yes, you can get a whole house for what, you know, a small condo or co-op might be in Manhattan.
And we've talked about that before, about the closing of the gap between Brooklyn and Manhattan, and just it is interesting to see how you know, far Manhattan is down on this list. I don't even, you would think that they would be, okay, maybe a little bit behind Brooklyn in terms of the housing prices, but they're actually trailing Staten Island in terms of below peak value. So this is just another interesting, probably statistic that Brooklyn real estate brokers are going to be arming themselves with when they're selling their wares to their incoming investors from out of state, or, you know, people looking to get out of Manhattan and come into Brooklyn, or you know, whatever. It just doesn't seem like Brooklyn doesn't seem to have a dearth of selling points. It just seems like we only pull out more statistics that continue to support and prop up the Brooklyn brand being such a strong and thriving one.
And just take a guess. You know, that article concludes by saying, "Will one day we be saying that Queens is the new Brooklyn?" Benchmark, which all other neighborhoods strive to be.
If you're paying attention to our recap shows, one would make that conclusion, because it does seem that way. And this is not us trying to toot our own horn or you know, heap any unwarranted praise on Brooklyn. This is just what you see weekend and month, monthly about the trend, and the arrow just keeps seems to be heading up, and just when you think that it might plateau or level off or come back down a little bit, it just seems to continue to gain momentum.
Well, Jason, you've done a good job scouring the internet, newspapers, and wherever else you get these tidbits of information from to make another interesting October recap show for what's happening in Brooklyn real estate. This concludes our program this evening, and we thank Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and thanks to Jason for his research. This is Howes New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.